Famous Bhagavad Gita. There comes a place where Arjuna asks Krishna, "Who are you?" Imagine a situation, you're standing before God and you're asking him, "Who are you?" What do you think he would say? In Cologne, where I asked this question to my audience, they said, well, maybe he would say everything. Or maybe he would say love. What do you think he would answer? Who are you?
I am who I am.
I am who I am. That is the Christian, I think, from the Christianity. I am who I am. That's a very good answer. It's an interesting question, isn't it? Would he say, I'm a man, or I'm a woman, or I'm a friend, I'm your friend, he would say. Yeah, very good. Come in, please. Welcome now. In the Gita, Krishna gives a very interesting answer. And please concentrate for a moment on this. Let us think for a moment about this. Krishna says, time. I am the great mover of this world, and I have come to engage all the people. Please think for a moment about this answer. Time is certainly one of the biggest forces in this world. Within time, planets are created and destroyed. Within time, countries are drawing their borders over a certain piece of land, and then it becomes irrelevant after some time. Within time, you are born. Hitler was also born. And you are destroyed, just like Hitler was destroyed. No one, not even the most powerful person in this world, can fight time. Time is so powerful that everyone has to subjugate, has to submit. In England, there was this big king who thought he was so powerful that he could control even time and tide. He was so arrogant, he had a chair, and they put the chair on the bank of the ocean, and the King James the Third, or whatever his foolish name was, said, the tide shall not touch my feet. Of course, the tide didn't care for this illusioned human being. It came, it swept his chair away. So time is similarly very powerful. Even if we don't want to submit to the influence of time, even if we do not wish to have anything to do with time, we are controlled by time. Just recently, I was looking into a mirror. Usually I have much shorter hair, so this time I could see. I have spotted some gray hair on the side, like an old man. I was so young and so dynamic, but now time is coming. It says that death sends you three letters all in all. The first is that your hair become gray. Ajamila, you also have received this letter. The second notice is that your eyes fail you. You can't see so well any longer. The third is that your tooth become very movable. Then you know. You won't get a third notice. Time is very, very powerful. This is our point, and the powerful time factor represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world. Even an atheist who does not wish to acknowledge the presence of God will be forced to acknowledge him in the form of this all-powerful time factor. He has no choice. Time is of utmost importance to all of us because the duration of our lives is made of time. Each one of our lives is composed of different time sections, maybe 40 years, maybe 80 years. This is the substance of our life, time. At the time of death, you cannot purchase even one more moment. Now, there is something very good to be known, that although time is passing by very quickly, if you manage to use time in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the service of Krishna, that time gets never lost. If you wish to be spiritually intelligent, you should watch for those moments where you can engage your time consciously and concentratedly in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever time you spend serving Krishna is an eternal credit in your eternal spiritual bank account, so to say. At the time of death, the time which you have spent with material activities is totally lost and gone. You have no relationship to this any longer. Whatever little thing or big time you had in spiritual activities is never lost. And we understand from sacred scripture that that amount of time spent in Krishna service will be, you will start in your next life there and continue to engage more and more in Krishna's service. In the scriptures, we find a very nice verse which says, both by rising and setting, the sun takes away the lifetime of everyone, except for someone who utilizes his time in the service of Krishna. These activities are eternal. So about 70% of my audience has followed me so far, but 30% were not able to follow this philosophy. So I will make it very simple now, so that 100% of you will be benefited and not be bored, even the littlest bit. I will tell you spiritual philosophy now in the form of a story, which will make the points very crystal clear, so that everyone can not only understand, that it really gets to the core of the heart. See, the point which we are trying to discuss is that time is Krishna. Now, when you use time in a material way, it is all lost and gone with death. But if you use your time in a spiritual way, that amount which you have done is never lost, but it follows you in your next lifetimes. Now, to illustrate this, I wish to narrate you the story of a Brahmana who was traveling through India to find a new village where he would be happily situated. In his old village, due to some reasons which are private, I cannot tell you here about them, he did not find happiness at all. So he had to move from that village and go to find a new village where he could happily reside. So it so happened that he came one evening he came to a village which was on the side of a river which looked very, very beautiful. The water was flowing, nice shady trees were there, It was a wonderful place, a wonderful village, except for one thing which disturbed him entirely. As he was entering the village, he saw something like an open field which had gray and black stones on it with names. Here lies Gopal. He became 2 years of age. The next sign was, here lies Henry. He became 1.5 years old. Here lies Indira. She became 1.8 years old. And on and on again, got 1.9 years, 2.1 years. Finally, after having read 20 such inscriptions, he felt shocked. He thought, this is the village of death. Everyone dies at an extremely young age. What should we do? I cannot possibly stay here. If I want to live, I will also die very early in this village of death. Anyways, no person in India will travel after sunset because there are just wild animals around and the snakes come out in the night. So he decided to stay exactly one night in that village. And then early in the morning, without telling anyone, he wanted to go and continue his travels. In the evening, he was requested to give a lecture. And he saw that all those who came to the lecture were extremely attentive, almost like the Finnish audience now. And he further saw that everyone brought a book with him and made a note in this book. Now, most of you are most probably not lecture givers. I happen to be in this role in this life that I very often give lectures. And I can tell you from my experience, when the audience takes notes what you say, you become flattered. You think, ooh, someone takes it serious. This is very wonderful. You must be careful not to develop a false ego at that time. So, when this Brahmana gave his lecture, everyone in the audience had a notebook and made notes. He thought, wonderful, but unfortunately, tomorrow I will have to leave with this because I don't want to die. So he slept well and then got up early before sunrise. And as the sun was just starting to come up, and he could see his way, he wanted to leave the village. But on the main road, he met a person, like Gopinath. The person said, well, why are you leaving so early? You have not eaten. We were so impressed by your lecture. We want to request you to lecture this evening again. Please do not go so early. This is a nice village. So, but the Brahmana said, no, I'm very much in a hurry. I'm very sorry. I have to go now. Why? He said, please give a reason. Oh, it's all right. I just made other plans. But the man kept on asking why. And finally, the Brahmana said, well, I don't want to die early. The man asked, well, why are you saying you don't want to die? I mean, here is a very healthy village. No. Your graveyard or whatever it is showed me that people die very young, 2 years, 1.9 years, and so on. Ah, said the man, you misunderstood. Look at me, I'm quite old, and I have my father who still has all his teeth. There is no problem. The man said, but what is about this type of graveyard or memory yard or however you call it? Ah, said the man, We measure our time differently in this village. Did you see how everyone came with a notebook to your lecture? Yes, the Brahmana. Do you know what they wrote inside the book? Well, I guess my lecture. Oh, maybe some of them, but everyone wrote for sure, made an entry that I sat for 1.5 hours in the spiritual evening program. Now, if you have every day 1.5 hours of spiritual programs and you die when you turn 80 or 90, then you are, I forgot, you know, this is something for the mathematicians, you are 2.1 years old. Do you follow? They did not count the time which they spent with material activities like eating and building the houses or going to the job and working and so on. And they did not count this because this is unimportant time. Everyone does this. Even the animals go to work and get their food and so on. It is they counted their lives in spiritual activities which were performed, not the material activities. Because they knew about this, that every spiritual activity which you do, you take with you when you leave the body at the time of your death, as an, let me say, an eternal credit on your spiritual bank account. Please, think in your life, how much time do you actually have for spiritual activities? I will give you a little statistical picture of your material life. You will walk by foot in one lifetime, if you turn 80, about 26,334 kilometers, an average person. You will grow hair, 960 kilometers of hair. You will grow nails, 25 meters of nails. You will, when you go to the toilet, you will lose all together about 40,000 liters of urine. And the average person, if he, I don't speak of the very emotional and sentimental person, loses 64 liters of tears in the life. A normal person will have 2,560 times sex and only be in love during this times for 2 or at most 3 times. There are many, many numbers. Oh, you will breathe in and out like 99,000, the air of 19 billion balloons. These are all statistical numbers of your material activities. But what will you do during this time? This is all what your body does and produces. What will you do and produce? You as a spirit soul. And it's very important to ask this question. Someone who becomes spiritually minded will need to make spiritual activities his main priority. We come from Germany, and I will now give you a little verse from the Goethe poet. He said, "Things that matter most should never be at the mercy of things that matter least." I remember once Sridhar Swami, a friend of ours, and gave a lecture in Slovenia, and he had about 500 people. It was a spiritual summer camp, and he was seeing that his audience was getting a little tired. It was hot. We were all in a tent, and then all of a sudden he said, he looked at us and he said, "Now it's time for a quiz." And then he put a big transparent aquarium on the table. Do you know what is an aquarium? It is maybe not the correct English word. It's where the little fishes swim in the room. Aquarium? Is this a correct? How do we say in Finnish? Yes, sounds very good. Yes, it sounds very. Yes, in Deutsch you also say aquarium. It's a, somehow it's, they don't change this word. So he started to take stones, big like this, like a hand, and fill them in the aquarium until it was full. Then he looked at us and asked, "Is it full now?" And we were not prepared. We said, "Yes, why?" So he just laughed and he took a few buckets of small stones, like this, poured them on the aquarium, and moved them. And we were surprised, two little buckets, middle sized buckets of little stones could still fill in. The stones just took their way next to the big stones. Then he asked, "Is it full now?" Now the intelligent amongst us, they said, "Probably not." And he took another bucket, a few buckets of sand, and filled it on the, on this whatever, the big stones, small stones, and so much sand could still be filled in. Then he asked his question, "Is it full now?" And now every one of us, with one voice, shouted, "No!" without knowing what would come next. So he took a few buckets of water and filled it in this mixture of big stones, small stones, and sand, and a lot of water could still fill in. And then he asked the question, "Is it full now?" And we didn't know what to say, because you always say the wrong things in this. And then he said, "Yes, it is full now. But what is the point?" And I still remember, I wanted to say something, but because I know that I always say the wrong things when such questions, I didn't say it. But my neighbor said what I wanted to say. He said, the point is that there is, it's just in this aquarium, there was always space which was not filled. In the same way, our life has always some space. There's still time for something which we have not yet done. How do you like this answer? It looks correct, yeah. Looks good. But I also thought, yes, this is a good point. Yes, there's always some time which we have not properly used, which we waste. But Sridhar Swami said, exactly, this is not the point. He said, to think like this is the mistake of you poor Western people. You always do this and then you do more and more until you have a nervous breakdown because you do so much. The point here is, if I would not have put the... the point is, you need to focus on your priorities and do them first. Just like in my example with the aquarium, he said. If I would not have put the big stones in first, but if I would have filled the aquarium with sand or with small stones, there would have no place left to fill the big stones. You follow? Imagine we pour an aquarium full with sand. There is no place for big stones, even not for small stones, for nothing. So in the same way, if you do not put the priorities in your life straight, if you don't do what is most important in your life, there will not be much time for this. always the small stones will come in your life. Unimportant phone calls, negative thoughts, political com letters, you know, unimportant work, sleep, growing nails or the hair situation, and so on. The life is full of small stones, even for a devotee of Krishna. He can waste his whole life with small stones. You must see that, and that requires a conscious and determined effort to put the priorities in your life. First of all, you must identify them. Do you have at all priorities? What is most important for you? What do you wish to attain in the 20 years or 40 years or 80 years which you still have? I have a news for you. Most of you don't have so much time. There's so much time which you have to sleep of the time which is ahead of you. So much time which you sit worrying, how will you get the novats, the money? So much time to work. We have very little time free to engage in spiritual life. So if you don't think consciously how you will utilize this time, you can be rest assured that you will waste it with unimportant things. Small stones, or sand, or water. And you will have nothing left in your life. You have misused another life form. Now you might say, oh, Mr. Swami, one moment. You are a Hare Krishna person. It's very easy for you to engage in spiritual life. You have nothing else to do. But I have to work. I have to raise a family. I can't. I'm a foreigner in Finland. There are so many regulations. This and that and so on. Thank you for telling us to set our spiritual priorities in our life. But it's a very difficult. I wish to say something. Yes, you are right. If one is in the lucky situation that one has made his life so that there is no that he can mostly focus on Krishna consciousness, it is lucky. I agree. But every one of us can set priorities, spiritual priorities. There is one example in the scriptures of Maharaj Ambarisha, a great king, who was a devotee. Now, can you imagine a king who has to take care of a country, how little time he has for himself? I would say a king, if he is not like a modern politician who only thinks of exploiting his office while he is in office. If a responsible king is there who really thinks of the welfare of a whole country, woof, he has not much time. He is a high power politician, very, very, very much engaged. But in the scriptures, we find how Ambarish engaged his time in spiritual activities. And I think it's so nice to read his timetable that you can feel some inspiration by hearing it. I will read now a translation from the Sanskrit, and in order to get the points, we will have to concentrate one last time, because it will go very fast. Let us listen about this timetable. King Ambarish engaged his mind, that is the most important thing, on the lotus feet of the Lord. Do you know that you have 32,000 thoughts a day? Manoharini, 32,000. Is it very much? It's a huge energy. 32,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I can't even count 32,000. I mean, we would sit up till the end of the day. And this energy, most of the people in this time have thoughts which are either directly negative or a little negative, and they therefore are put down and lead a very miserable life, even if they have so much material opulences around them. Also, devotees of Krishna sometimes think so negatively about their life. Ooh, this is a black in the mind. It is not by becoming externally a devotee of Krishna that your mind is automatically also spiritual. You have to make the endeavor to think of Krishna, to think of devotional service, to think very good thoughts about each other, to put Krishna in the mind. This is what it means to be a devotee. So Ambarish is describing. King Ambarish engaged his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. His words in describing the transcendental qualities of the Lord. He didn't talk about so many material things. He talked about how kind Krishna is, how merciful, and so on. His hands, although he was a king, he engaged in mopping the temple of the Lord. We have so many wonderful guests from India who are here. I want to request all of you, do something practically with your hands for the service of Krishna. In England we have a mandir, the Bhaktivedanta Mani mandir, where everything is done by our congregation. They mop, they clean, they take great pride in a businessman is every Sunday there cleaning the toilet for Krishna. And no one in the world can take the service away from him. Because he understands, I need to become a humble servant. So his ears, one can engage in hearing about the wonderful activities of the Lord. You know, the Puranas are full of the most incredible descriptions what Krishna did, much better than the movies. His eyes, he engaged in seeing the deity form on the beautiful altar of the Lord. His body, he engaged in, you know, taking association with the devotees. His nostrils, the nose, he engaged in smelling the perfume which is offered to Krishna and the flowers. His tongue, this we will do soon. Also, his tongue, he engaged in tasting the beautiful food which was offered to the Lord. In this way, he engaged all his senses in activities in relationship with God. And you know what happens if you engage your eyes in relationship with God, if you engage your ears, your senses in relationship with Krishna, you become Krishna conscious. Krishna travels through the senses into your heart. That was his method. How do you like his style? It's amazing, isn't it? He was really engaged. Bhakti means Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate, to engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses, that is Krishna. And in this way, come to Krishna consciousness. Alright, let me summarize my little speech so that it becomes a little bit more substantial. When Krishna was asked who he is, he described his representation in this world, the representation of time. Time is God, the most powerful factor. It is important to utilize, to know this little trick, to utilize the time in godly or spiritual activities. If you do so, you will come very quickly to the point of full God realization or Krishna realization. But in order to do this, you must set your priorities very, very clear. You must do activities connected with Krishna every day. This is called sadhana. Sadhana are activities which prepare you for your eternal life. If you are a devotee living in the temple, you can do it by visiting the temple program, which is centered around Lord Krishna. If you live at the house, please also have some type of sadhana, spiritual activities which you do every day, regularly, which make you spiritually very strong. Or if you are a skeptic guest who has come for the first or second time and thinks, how strange, how utterly strange. Also, you can at least use some of your time for getting more knowledge about the spiritual subject matter before all your time is spent in other things, in material things, which are ultimately leaving you at the time of death. They're gone. Please use your time properly. Hare Krishna. So I have come to the end of my presentation. Let me see if you do have some questions. After this, we will have a little pause where you can get up, stretch your legs, breathe normally, and so on. And in this pause, we will set up the slide projection, and then we will all make a journey to Gomukh, that is the source of Mother Ganga. It will be very, very nice. Personally, I'm convinced it's my best slide presentation which I have, but you can judge how you like it. Okay, so let us first see if you do have any questions regarding this. Yes, gentlemen? Hare Krishna. Yes.
And the most important point that we need to take home is that chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and engaging ourselves in devotional service is the most important thing, which is most of the Indians do not follow. Here is an example of a highly elevated devotee of God, poor Brahmin, unable to feed his children. He was even ashamed to give a small gift of old broken rice to Krishna. And when Krishna ate those old rice, then he couldn't even recognize his house. It became a great mansion. So automatically, whatever we do for Krishna, we will be rewarded accordingly at what is best for Krishna. So I would appreciate if all of us can help and make a beautiful place, build a nice temple. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this nice comment. Yeah. You have a child, huh? There is a secret. Yes. Yes. Yeah, so fast, yes. I understand you totally. Yes, it is. If you want, there are some. You could express it poetically, that there are some time thieves going around in an invisible form. And these time thieves engage us in activities which really do not satisfy us. A whole day is gone, and in the evening we sit back and go over the day and just feel, ah, I'm not satisfied with my day. It was not spent in, there was nothing which I really liked to do. There was nothing which really was spiritual. There was nothing in service of Krishna. Now, if you have realized this, you are amazingly in not such a bad situation. Your situation is glorious. You have understood that without spiritual activities, you are dissatisfied and frustrated in your life. Most of the people nowadays feel some frustration, just like you, but they do not know why. Everything was there. I mean, money, and I was in the cinema. I looked at TV. You know, I should be satisfied, but I'm not. Why? But they don't know why. You know, it's because I have not served Krishna. I have not done spiritual activities which are on the platform of the eternal soul. Now, what a person like you, a busy person like you, I should say, I noticed you have a child, right? Children are taking a lot of time, especially when they are young, and we must give them this time as parents. Otherwise, our children will not grow up happily and healthily. But what you should do is reserve at least one part of the day, even if it's only 1 hour or 2 hours, for good spiritual activities. And what you will see is a thing which is almost a mystery. I mean, you will have to experiment on this and see it yourself. Your time which you use in pure spiritual activities will increase. You just need to start somewhere at some time. Like, I remember there was a friend of mine who was a professor in the university, and who told me, Sachinandan Swami, it is not possible for me to follow your advice to use the time. I have to correct the homeworks of my pupils. I have to be a father at home. I have to prepare for my classes in the universities. He told me all his things. Then I said, my dear Charlemagne, this was my nickname for this friend of mine. My dear Charlemagne, just read 3 verses of the Bhagavad Gita each day. When? He said, when you go shopping and you are standing in the line, take your Bhagavad Gita and read the 3 verses then. Or when you are in the bus, read your verses then. I'm sorry, in the bus I have to prepare for my classes. Okay, do something at some time. And after 1 week he came with a big smile and he said, do you know what I did? I said, no, what? I read 3 verses of the Bhagavad Gita when I was climbing up the stairs to my classroom in the university. And I felt wonderful. And now I think I will have 6 verses a day. And mysteriously it increased. It's something which you need to... Krishna, in other words, who is the time factor, will give you the time. If you start using your time in some type of spiritual activity of bhakti yoga, you will see this. It will work. Make an experiment. Just check out when you have time, and during this time, and use that in a spiritual way. Wonderful. Then you have to do one thing. you have to see that Krishna is present in the other activities. When you take care of your child and you play, and it's really not the place you would like to play. You have to be in the sandbox, you know, and play cards, and it's really, you feel you're a little bit too old for this, and see that you are doing it as a service to Krishna. Your child can become a nice devotee if he has a good a childhood where the mother takes care of him nicely and so on. In other words, try to see Krishna in these other things, and you will see not much is separated from Krishna. Krishna consciousness means you to detect Krishna everywhere. I even read today a very nice thing, that even if a devotee is in danger or misery comes, he thinks Krishna has come in this form to him. He thinks like this. Very good. Hare Krishna. I know when you're... So, my dear girls and boys, talk to this young lady. Think many times before you have a child. Be very careful. Don't just do this spontaneously out of a whim to get a child. It is a great responsibility and it means a lot of time. When you are in the when the child is there for 2 years or 1.5 years, means you will not sleep for one night. They always come and they want to have some concern, and you have to take care of this. Think carefully about it. And when you have children, see them as God sent to you, and take nice care of them. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes? For Krishna, yeah. One experience, this Mataji says that even in the temple it happens that one has done a lot of activities for Krishna but does not feel so satisfied at the end of the day. You will feel satisfied in your activities if you do them and think of Krishna simultaneously. Therefore, if you... our problem is we often see devotional service as work and not as something which goes to Krishna. We want to see devotional service as something which goes to Krishna. Or we can, we need to read sufficiently. Only if we read enough and hear enough can we remember Krishna during our activities, and then we will always get. Have enough energy. If we don't read, if we don't think of Krishna while we do this, sometimes activities can become stress. Sometimes, and when you feel like this, oh, my activities are becoming stress for me, then you need to put the emergency brake. You need to talk with the devotees in the temple so that there is no disturbance, and you need to see. Well, I'm a little bit like this. Can it be possible that we arrange the services in such a way that I find a little bit more time to read? Or we should simply, instead of talking so much prajalpa, which takes a lot of time, we can do some reading and chanting. But this is when you experience your activities as stress. It means you can't relate them to Krishna any longer, and you don't think of Krishna. Hare Krishna. And if you're in the thickest of stress and you think you're doing this for Krishna, it is not so bad. Hare Krishna. But sometimes I will tell you very, very, very human answer. Sometimes we just need a little bit more rest. Because Life is so strenuous. Ooh. Hare Krishna. Okay, I think I will end the class now. Now we will have a little... we will have a time of 5 or 10 minutes or so. When we start in the temple, we will hear...